Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Zuari Industries. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Darshini Desai from MUFG Intime Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Zuari Industries Limited. Today on this call, we have Mr. Athar Shah, Managing Director, Mr. Nishant Dalal, Chief Financial Officer, and Company Secretary, Mr. Yadvinder Goel. Before we begin this call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not guarantees of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I hand over the call to Athar Shah. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Darshini. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Zuari Industries Limited, I warmly welcome all the participants to this call. I am joined today by our CFO, Mr. Nishant Dalal, and our Company Secretary, Mr. Yadvinder Goel, and Mr. Amit Roongta, who is our Chief of Staff. I begin by giving you an overview of our operations and the sugar, power, and ethanol division. We concluded our operations on the 29th of March this year. Last year, we had concluded on the 17th of April. But even then, for a financial year, it was the highest-ever crushing of sugarcane that we reported. The sugar sales for the first quarter stood at 3.6 lakh quintals, which is a little lower than 3.8 lakh quintals that we did last year, primarily due to less quota allocation by the government. We made up for it by higher sugar realization, which was up by 4%, against 3,864 rupees per quintal that we sold last year for the same quarter. This year, the figure was 4,036 crore. We have been showing consistent improvement in our distillery capacity utilizations, and the operations this year are likely to continue until the end of September. We had closed the distillery last year in August itself, but we are consistently improving our performance. Not surprisingly, in the first quarter itself, the ethanol production is up by 12% against 8,956 kiloliters produced last year. We have gone to 10,019 kiloliters this year. The realization is also slightly up because of a different mix of ethanol. And as we speak, major R&M CapEx work in sugar unit is in progress. As you know, we are all in the off-season, and a number of annual maintenance activities are carried out during this period. Moving on, our biggest subsidiary, Zuari Infra World, is expanding its operations in Hyderabad, Kolkata, and now even looking at Bangalore. They have got a mandate of 2,000 crore project, a DM mandate for a residential project in Kolkata. This is a very significant development. As I apprised you last time, we are pursuing an asset-light, investment-light model, the development management model, where we manage the entire developmental activities for other developers for a fee. And I'm happy to tell you that in the first quarter, we've got a large project in Kolkata as part of this strategy. Meanwhile, our own Zuari Garden City project, phase four, is running close to completion. Close to 100 plots out of 156 sold, and 15 of them were sold in the first quarter itself. And our flagship project, the St. Regis Dubai project, is progressing well ahead of schedule, and we are targeting completion by February 2026. In our engineering and construction company, Simon India, we are constantly strengthening our execution capacity. I'm very happy to tell you that this company has landed orders of about 100 crores in the first quarter. And it is moving towards a digital-first EPC strategy, and in that sense, it is planning to distinguish itself and all aspects of its project execution and project management will be done through the latest digital tools and techniques. Our ethanol joint venture, Zuari NVN Bioenergy Private Limited, is 88% complete and is on track for commissioning in Q2. As you are aware, we are setting up a 180 KLPD grain-based distillery in Lakhimpur in joint venture with our partners NVN. As you are aware, we continue to hold strategic investments in Chambal Fertilizers, Zuari Agrochemicals, Mangalore Chemicals and Fertilizers, Texmaco Rail and Engineering, and Texmaco Infrastructure and Holdings. The value of our listed strategic investments as on 30th of June was 5,201 crore. You have probably taken note of the ongoing merger activities between MCFL and PPL, which is in a fairly advanced stage. Once completed, it will create a very potent entity in the fertilizer sector with operations in three coast-based locations, namely Paradeep, Mangalore, and Goa. Excluding working capital, the external debt of the company and its subsidiaries was 1,846 crore. And there is a clear roadmap in place for significant deleveraging in the next few quarters. Looking ahead, we expect sugar prices to remain steady, supported by lower stock levels that are being projected by various organizations. We expect ethanol prices, however, to increase in view of ongoing demand from the ethanol blending program and the fact that they have not gone up for a significant amount of time. We expect continued momentum in the real estate markets of our interest. We continue to explore opportunities for inorganic expansion in sugar and ethanol. We are building a strong BD pipeline for DM mandates in real estate. And we are trying to embed digital tools in all aspects of our operations across businesses. So I think that's all from me for now. And I would now invite our CFO, Mr. Nishant Dalal, to present the financial results. And after that, both Nishant and I would be available to take questions. Over to you, Nishant.
Thank you, Mr. Shahab, and good afternoon, everyone. I will begin by providing a few detailed review of Zuari Industries' performance. The revenue from operations of the company was nearly 210.3 crore, slightly lesser than 214.5 crore in previous year, because of, as already explained by Mr. Shahab, lower sales quota which we got for sugar. However, the operating EBITDA for us was nearly 22.4 crore, similar to 23.5 crore which we achieved in the previous year. The profit before tax and before exceptional item is at nearly 90 lakh rupees for the Q1 FY26 against 1.14 crore in the previous year. Finance cost of the company, if we talk about it, has come by reduced by nearly 3.92 crore on a year-on-year basis. On a consolidated performance level, our revenue from operation has improved significantly to 257.5 crore versus 225.7 crore in the previous year. And the profit before tax and before exceptional item stands at a loss of just 40 lakh rupees as compared to 34.3 crore loss in the Q1 of the previous year. Then on there are a few updates on our subsidiaries and joint ventures. Zuari Infraword India Limited, there the income has increased to 27.1 crore against 19.7 crore in the Q1 of previous year. In Zuari Finserv, our income has grown by almost 20% to 5.9 crore as compared to 5 crore in the previous year. And EBITDA has also improved significantly to 2 crore in the Q1 of current year. We saw a strong growth in the OM, nearly 60% growth. Primarily, it is coming from the SIPs. Then we also launched a standardized broking plan and we are building new digital platforms to expand products and strengthen the governance while staying focused on the customers. Then in Zuari Insurance and Brokers Limited, our income grew to 4.1 crore as compared to 3.2 crore in the previous year, and EBITDA also improved from 2.4 crore to 3.2 crore in the current year. It is driven by strong our Q1 renewals. Then we have also leveraged strong digital tools in our insurance broking space also to enhance the client experience and tap into the group network to boost business and market presence. Zuar International Limited, we have posted a revenue of nearly 54 crore, which is up from 23.8 crore in the previous year, while EBITDA has come down to 6.8 crore as compared to 13.3 crore in the previous year. So this is the company where we are trying to venture into healthy snacking, and we have introduced 5 new snack pure chip variants, and we have also entered into quick commerce platforms like Zepto and Swiggy Instamart with the refreshed packaging for Zuari White and Pink Salt also. So Simon India Limited, the EPC arm of the company, has presented a stupendous performance. So beyond the order book of 100 crore, the income also of the company has risen sharply to 15.9 crore as compared to 1.5 crore in the previous year. And EBITDA improving to 1.4 crore as compared to 0.1 crore only in the previous year. In Zuari Management Services Limited, we have reported stable income of 8.7 crore in line with our last year. And we are offering HR solutions like recruitment and payroll along with business advisory services also in this company. It is also advancing our digital initiatives, including real-time tracking, BI dashboards, predictive analytics, and integrated platforms to improve key business operations. Then in our joint venture with oil tanking joint venture with Adani Ventures Private Limited, Zuari Indian Oil Adani Ventures Private Limited, the receipts grew 17% year-on-year and deliveries increased by 6%, supported by robust petroleum product demand. This is all on the part of, let's say, subsidiaries performance. We are open for any Q&A and we are happy to address the queries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while a question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Saumil Shah from Paris Investments. Please proceed.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you, Saumil.
Yeah. Okay. So good afternoon. My question is on the debt side. So we have about 2,500 crores of debt on our books. So what's the plan on that? And if I were to look at March 26 numbers, how much it will be reduced from 2,500 level?
Okay. So I will take it up. If we look at the overall debt of the company, so the total debt of the company is somewhere around 2,300 crore as on 30th June, of which our external debt is nearly 1,800 crore. And we have nearly 244 crore of borrowings from our promoters. Plus rest is the working capital facility, which varies along the year as the utilization changes. Now we are working to deleverage because at such a kind of, we do understand such high level of debt will not be sustainable for quite long. So we are working at certain monetization events, and a few of those our product projects, as we have conveyed to you also, our Dubai project is expected to be complete by February 26. So we expect our returns to come from those projects, which will help in deleveraging the balance sheet and repayment of these debts. Now exactly how much amount that would be, will be not able to tell right now. Probably as we go along, maybe a quarter down the line, we'll get some clarity and we'll be able to give, you can say, a better answer or better numbers on that part. Hope it answers your query.
So sir, we are not getting the desired valuation because of the debt only. The market cap to debt is, I mean, debt to market cap is very high. As a shareholder, sir, it is a request that we can reduce the debt as soon as possible.
Yes, and we are working on, you can say, that part of our balance sheet, Saumil, and we can assure you that we are very cognizant of it, and this is a topmost priority for the company also to do the deleverage ASAP.
Okay. So from the Dubai project, how much revenue are you going to generate? Is it 750 to 800 crore for this year?
See, the Dubai project which we are doing in Dubai, this is a revenue recognition will happen once the project gets completed. But we can tell you that their sales value is, it's a mega project for us. So, and project is fully sold out with, you can say, our sales realization in excess of almost 1300 million AEDs there. So that kind of numbers are there already.
So, Nishant, let me just intervene at this point in time. The Dubai project will have a top line of 1.3 billion AED.
Yes.
So that's a very significant number. And we will repatriate our share of the profits into India. And that will, as Nishant said, will very significantly reduce our debt borrowings. Just bear in mind that the aggregate external debt, as I mentioned in my speech, stands at around 1,800 odd crores. So, and the rest is actually working capital, which goes up and down depending on the sugar season and taken care of by the sugar business. The third part is debt extended by promoter entities, which is about 244 odd crores. So the external debt is really 1,800 odd crores. This will stand very significantly reduced when we repatriate the funds from Dubai. The exact numbers, I think, will become clearer as we progress towards that deadline. As I mentioned, there is a very clear roadmap to do deleveraging. I also mentioned to you just the value of liquid securities that we hold is in excess of 5,200 crores. So I think investors should take heart from the fact that the company is doing very well as far as the operations are concerned. All the subsidiaries are moving forward in their growth plans and posting good results. The subsidiaries have done well and the investments have also done well. And there is a very clear path for deleveraging now, clearly visible in terms of timelines. Quantum, of course, hopefully, by the time we connect with you next quarter, we should be able to give you better visibility.
Okay. That's very comforting to hear. And so my final question, in Simon India, we have booked orders worth 100 crores. So can you please give some details, what are these orders and by when this will be executed?
So these are orders coming in from Paradeep Phosphates Limited. There the company is building the fifth evaporator project. And then they have been given a contract to build a sulfur melting system, their TG4 project, and a series of projects. I think the good news is that there is growing realization that this company can execute larger projects. It can deliver. Most of these projects have a short time frame for execution. So I expect everything, most of it, to be done by the next March 27 itself. So that's the kind of time frame. They are not very long-term projects. And I expect, I think, the going forward, the pipeline to grow stronger for Simon India, both from internal clients as well as external clients.
Okay. Okay. And if I may squeeze in one more question. So on our bioethanol plant, it would be operational by the second quarter, I mean this quarter end, is it correct?
Yes. Yes, we are racing ahead towards the last leg of completion activities, and I think we should be ready and done in the next quarter.
Okay, so what sort of revenues can we expect in the first year of operations, and by when you think 180 KLPD will run at full capacity?
Nishant, can you answer this question, please?
Yes, so. See, as soon as when we expect to, you can say, commercial operations should start as soon as, let's say, start of Q3. then it will take a quarter to two quarter of stabilized operations. So full capacity utilization should happen from, let's say, 1st April of 2026. So Q1 of next financial year should start, you can say, plant should be operating at full load and everything.
Okay. And by when you think this 180 KLPD will run at full capacity?
I think this is what I exactly told you just now. Commercial operations should start from Q3, and maybe it will take a quarter to two quarter of stabilized operations. So 100% capacity utilization, it may start even from Q4 also. That depends on, but we are very confident at least next financial year, the plant will operate at full capacity.
Okay. That's it. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Karan Rajpal, an investor. Please proceed.
Thank you. Thank you for your answers on the Dubai project. I had two questions on that. One is, we said the value is 1.3 billion AED. I'm assuming there's a portion of that that accrues to Zuari Industries. So as part of the development agreement, what is the actual revenue that we will accrue?
See, for reasons of confidentiality, we are not able to disclose our profit share, Karan.
Okay.
But I have shared with you the top line, which is little in excess of 1.3 billion. Suffice it to say that we are expecting a very decent share of profit, which we will repatriate. And as I said, I think be patient. I think by the next quarterly call that we have, maybe we'll be able to give a very clear number as to what that figure is.
Sir, we've been invested with the company for almost a decade now, so I think, you know, we've been very, very patient. You will appreciate, you know, why we're a little anxious with these things. But fair enough, another quarter after a decade is fine. The second question I had was on the snack pure segment. Now, one of the main, you know, kind of concerns that has been there with the value unlocking of the company is the absolutely varied kind of businesses that we've had over the years. And one of the mandates the current management came in with and the commentary that we got was we will essentially, you know, focus on things that make sense to the business. Zuari Industries as a company and the overall Advents Group has not really had, you know, a lot of large consumer brands that it has been able to build over the last many years. Even as our other B2B or, you know, commodity businesses, we've shown extreme competence. Is there a specific reason why we are picking up, you know, this segment where I frankly don't see a right to win and, you know, putting both management resources as well as budgets into this? I would like to hear, you know, any thoughts that, you know, the team can share.
First of all, Karan, let me thank you for staying invested with us and for your patience and confidence in the company and the management. And as you can see, I think structurally it's a company that operates a sugar, power and ethanol division. It has a whole bunch of subsidiaries which are primarily into real estate, engineering and construction, stockbroking, management services, etc., etc. And there's an ethanol joint venture that has come up. We also operate oil tankage facility at Goa in joint venture. And apart from it, we hold very significant investments in group companies which have shown remarkable performance. So all this has improved quite a lot in the last couple of years, if you have been tracking the performance of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And while I fully agree with, and first of all, let me give you some more color on the Dubai project. I think we have been apprising investors repeatedly over the last couple of years about the progress that we're making. And physically, the structure is complete. The finishing works are going on. We are now planning for handovers. And the numbers that I told you about sales is on the basis of the last unit sold recently. So there are real numbers, there's a real project, and there's real visibility on what is coming in from that project. As I mentioned in previous calls and my interaction with investors, we put the real estate business on the path of asset-light, investment-light model. We got a project in Hyderabad. We got a project in Kolkata. We are in discussions with several people, and we hope that we will build a robust DM pipeline, which is development management pipeline. As regards Snack Pure, I think it is just a small experiment at this point in time. We are already present as a retailer of sugar, particularly in North India. Zuari Sugar is a household name in North India, and every hotel that you go, you will probably find Zuari Sugar pouches. And I think at this point in time, this Snack Pure is just riding on the back of the retail presence. And there is no, I would say, big corporate structure created or large amount of capital allocated, etc. What we are trying to see is that on the back of the distribution network that is already in place, is there something that can be done? And I think, as I mentioned earlier, and I repeat, you know, we will do these experiments, and if we find that, you know, traction is being built, we will, of course, cull these kind of initiatives. But for the time being, I think we will pursue for the next couple of quarters, and we'll keep reporting to you how we are doing.
Fair enough. In one of the previous investor presentations, there was a map of the various, you know, locations where we have real estate projects that are ongoing. If I remember correctly, one of those locations was in Delhi. It was just notated by a number 8 or something. And we've not really seen, you know, any updates on, you know, what rights we have towards, you know, any property that's in Delhi and what's the monetizable value. I just want to be sure that I remember correctly, and because that's not there in the current investor presentation.
Okay.
Any thoughts now? Or if
Karan, let me, your memory is absolutely fantastic. That parcel of land actually is owned by our associate company, Texmaco Infrastructure Holdings Limited. How much do we hold, Jatin, in Texmaco Infra?
Sir, 30%.
30%.
So we hold 30% in Texmaco Infrastructure Holdings Limited. That company has ownership of valuable land parcels in Delhi. And the one that you saw there was about 9.8 acres of land in the heart of Delhi in Kamla Nagar. And I'm happy to share with you that on the 30th of June this year, that company signed a joint development agreement with a consortium comprising Hines India Real Estate and Conscient Infrastructure for developing a fantastic ultra-premium luxury property in Delhi. So, and the company actually made announcements. It's all there in the public domain. They, being a listed entity, they also made announcements to the public at large through the exchanges. And that project is now progressing well. And my understanding is that they have been given time until 31st of March next year to complete all the formalities and the approvals and do the launch after receiving approvals from RERA. So that's very much on track, and I think that company will create a fantastic project in the heart of Delhi. And being a shareholder, 30%, of course, the benefits would accrue to Zuari Industries as well.
Wonderful, sir. My last questions, and then I'll give a chance to the others. So we've been working towards consolidating, you know, how the group is structured, since that is one of the big challenges for a value unlock. Over the past couple of years, we've done, you know, the work on Paradeep and Mangalore. And after the Paradeep IPO, the plant in Goa was, the Zuari Agro plant in Goa was sold to Paradeep. And now, very recently, we've also sold the Mahad plant from Zuari Agro to Mangalore. After this, given that, you know, most of the standalone operations are Zuari Agro, perhaps leaving Zuari Farm about are out, could we look at a possibility where there's some sort of a reverse merger or some amalgamation? Because from here on, Zuari Agro will become majorly a holding company of our interests in Paradeep.
See, I think, Karan, first of all, your observation is absolutely correct. And you are one of those astute investors who is keeping a track of the constant reorganization and restructuring that the company is doing to streamline its operations. All that I have to tell you that we are very cognizant of the need to simplify structures and unlock value. And I think at this stage I cannot provide any updates. We are all watching and waiting very eagerly for the MCFL-BPL merger to be concluded, which is in fairly advanced stage. And I think that will really consolidate our fertilizer investments in one location. But I think you should continue to interact with us through this forum and otherwise when we meet investors. And rest assured, we are constantly looking at our group structures and trying to simplify things.
Thank you so much for all your answers. All the best to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Karan. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Adria Pal, an investor. Please proceed.
Many of the listed holdings and the real estate that we, the shareholders of Zuari Industries, own is held within subsidiaries. So I want to know what is the tax consequence of profits generated by the subsidiaries, whether it's capital gains, to us of Zuari.
Can you repeat the question, and Nishant, can you answer this, please?
Yeah, I just many Texmaco infrastructure. 20% of it is owned by you are not audible in between.
Yeah.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I'll repeat
ahead.
Again. I'll repeat again. So, for example, Texmaco infrastructure, 21% is held by Zuari Industries, but 10% is held by our subsidiary, which is Zuari International. Now I want to know, if Texmaco infrastructure holdings is sold, then what would be the tax consequence to the shareholders of Zuari Industries? Or rather, simpler question is, will there be a double taxation since it's held by a subsidiary?
I think it's a very hypothetical question. What will be the tax implication of the sale of Texmaco holding in the hands of Zuari Industries Limited? That's what you are asking?
Yes. If, let's say, Zuari International...
I don't think any such thing is contemplated at all.
That's what I'm saying. It's a pretty hypothetical question.
I don't think we can answer that question at all because then there is nothing contemplated.
Mr. Shah, whether or not it's contemplated is not the reason I'm asking the question, because Zuari Industries is a holding company and therefore an investor has to value its holdings net of all applicable taxes. So I want to know whether it will be a double taxation event or a single taxation event. Please entertain my hypothesis.
Yeah, hi, Jatin this side. Just to clear out, it will be a single taxation depending on the long-term capital losses, if any, Zuari Industries is carrying on. Or otherwise, if there are no capital losses, we will be paying the normal long-term capital gain at the rate of 12%. After
understood.
The benefit of grandfathering.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much. My second question, does Zuari Industries bear any contingent liabilities for the capital-light project management businesses you've taken up in Hyderabad and Kolkata?
No, we are not taking any contingent liability for these asset-light models of our Zuari Infrastructure projects.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Yatik Mehta from VS Associates. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. Your plan to scale ethanol production to 1000 KLPD is significant. So could you please share the expected timeline, capex involved, and whether this will be funded internally or through external sources?
Nishant, can you take this?
Yeah, I will take it, sir. So we have set up a platform company called Zuari NVL Bioenergy Private Limited, under which we are setting up our bioethanol fresh ventures. And the first project is 180 KLPD distillery, which is right now we are setting up. And our idea is to scale this business, this platform to 1000 KLPD. Now, initially our idea was to scale this business within next 4 to 5 years. However, a lot of, you can say, investment in this space are dependent on the guidelines or the policy framework, how it is evolving, as well as the macroeconomic environment of the company, of the country. So today, if we talk about, this is the only project which is under execution as of now. We are evaluating the new opportunities where we can take up the route through the organic manner. And a few options are in our hand, but when we are talking on the policy regulatory space, as you probably know that grain-based ethanol prices have been revised since last at least 2 years. They are at the same level while the cost of raw material procurement prices are going up. So you can say, as a result of which, you can say taking a long-term view as of now on the fresh investment, we are still in the evaluation mode. So we have not decided exactly when the next project will be taken up. We are awaiting, you can say, more clarity from the government on the prices which they are setting up for the ethanol-based or grain-based distilleries, and a long-term view on the from the policy aspect perspective. That will decide the, you can say, the next timelines for our future projects.
Okay. My second question is that you mentioned there is no land sale due to unfavorable macroeconomic environment. So what is the outlook for FY26 target for the land sales?
In this FY26, as of today, we are still only in the discussion mode, and we can say we believe probably no land sales in FY26.
Okay. How many total phases does Zuari Rainforest have right now?
How many?
Total phases does Zuari Rainforest have?
So phase 1 is already done. Phase 2 is under evaluation, which is another second phase 2.
Okay. Are there any projects lined up after the completion of this project?
Not exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gupta from Star Investment. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead, Vivek.
Yes, so my first question is, like, what is your anticipated share of supply under the national ethanol blending target over the next 2-3 years? And with 5,200 crores in quoted investments, what is the threshold or the, you know, trigger point for you to liquidate holdings for funding growth projects?
See, the way we see, India is pretty much, you can say, on path of achieving the 20% mandate, which was for the FI for this season, 25 season. So we have achieved that part, and the current capacities which are, you can say, developing on the grain side, because sugar, whatever we could do, I think country has already achieved the on the sugar part. The next wave of growth has to come from the grain-based distilleries. And with the government targeting to achieve 30% in the next stage by 2030, so there is, you can see, we see tremendous growth opportunities on the grain-based side for the ethanol space. Now, a lot of this is, as I just explained in the previous theory, a lot of this will be dependent on the clear policy guidelines, more so on the pricing than how the government is probably taking care of the supply chain aspect, as well as making, you can say, availability of the feedstocks at remunerative prices. So certain those policy guidelines clarity from the government will decide, you can say, the next, you can say, achievement of maybe 30% of the blending. A lot will be dependent on that. By when it will happen, it's very difficult. I think I will not be able to, will not be able to comment on that.
Okay. So, I just wanted to know, how do you plan to optimize sugar levels given the quota-based allocation system? And also, do you expect any relaxations from the government in upcoming quarters?
In my opinion, see, the current quota system of the government that has been able to manage, you can say, considerable, you can say, price levels in the country, as well as you can say it has been able to support the industry also by avoiding a glut of the sugar when the season is there, and then you can say then shortage in the off-season period and etc. And I think when with the diversion of the sugar, which has now been allowed by the government towards the ethanol, so the integrated sugar units, they will be pretty much, you can say, able to make the best use of the controlled mechanism of quota sales as well as diversion towards ethanol, and they will be able to keep their revenue as well as their profitability in a better shape as compared to independent units. So I believe on the government side, if we see, talk about, given the current environment of the policy, we don't foresee any change in the government policy of doing away with the quota system. We have not heard of anything. The same system is expected to continue.
Okay. So, see, what I see is there is growing criticism and concern being raised on social media platforms, which is regarding the harmful effect of ethanol blended petrol on existing car models. So there was also clarification from the government.
Yes.
So in the event concern, if that concern escalates and the blending program is rolled out slower than anticipated, how do you see that will affect the company?
See, we provide a very modest level of supplies to the
Yes.
government. I think at 125 KLPD that we are supplying, or even the 180 KLPD that we will do, that's a very small, tiny fraction of the whole thing. I think broadly the plan is on track. The goals of the government are clear. There are clear savings that have been achieved by the government, both in terms of cutting the GHG emissions as well as saving on forex outgo, and increasing farmer incomes. If you see, the whole thing is resting on three very important pillars. There is a need to communicate with the customers better, and I think I'm sure the kind of feedback that is coming in from people at large will help in generating a better environment of acceptability. And I see no reason why we should get concerned about the long-term prospects of our ethanol business.
Yeah, okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jain from RJ Investment. Please proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes,
yes, Darshil.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So I have a couple of questions. Firstly, the plan to scale ethanol production to 1,000 KLPD is significant. So could you share the expected timelines and CapEx involved, and whether this will be funded internally or through any external sources?
And I think I just addressed this query in the previous
I think
session.
Vishal just addressed the same question from another participant. Let me just reiterate. We have a stated plan of going up to 1,000 KLPD in our joint venture, Zuari NVN Bioenergy Private Limited. As part of that plan, we are setting up 180 KLPD facility. The idea was that we will generate in fact, the time frame, the first question, time frame is 5 years. The second thing you spoke about investment, all of it, whatever we need, will come from internal generation from various other businesses. But the key point that Nishant mentioned is very important, that there are things to change in the regulatory environment. First of all, the feedstock prices have significantly risen in the last couple of years, and there is no commensurate increase in the price of ethanol, grain-based ethanol. And I think from every forum, the manufacturers are requesting the government to take a look and make the prices realistic. And I think we are very cognizant of that fact. So any subsequent commitment of investments into this will depend on these couple of triggers. So when Nishant said that we are evaluating, he says, of course, we have a number of opportunities lined up. But the real investment decisions will come when we see some of these triggers coming in from the government side.
Understood, sir, understood. So, secondly, with the centric is Dubai now 79% complete and fully sold, can you elaborate on the specific types of new premium project being evaluated in Dubai post-completion?
Right now, we are only looking at, preliminary set of opportunities, but there's nothing concrete that I can talk about. Our focus in the last few quarters has been in India, in the markets in Bangalore, Hyderabad, and Kolkata, where we have made some progress. As and when we do something in Dubai, we'll let you know.
Understood, sir. And we can see that DM revenues in Zuari Infra World rose sharply on year-on-year basis. What is your target pipeline size, mainly in Bengaluru, Hyderabad, Kolkata, for FY26, and how much of that is already contracted, if you could throw some light on that?
See, I think the Hyderabad project is worth about 2,000 crore. Likewise, the Kolkata project is also about 2,000 crore. So 4,000 crore worth of projects, gross development value, and there is a percentage of DM fee that we will get. Have we disclosed that in the... So there is a percentage of the top line that we get, and someone asked a question about contingent liabilities. There are none. We only provide fee-based services to our clients.
Understood, sir. And lastly, with gains due fully cleared by May, how is the cost of raw material procurement trending this season compared to the last year?
Nishant, can you take this, please?
Yeah, so your theory is on.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. So actually, it was about the cane due, which were fully cleared by May. So how is the cost of raw material procurement trending this season when we compare to the last year?
We have not done any procurement ourselves. You are talking about cane procurement?
Yeah.
Oh, cane procurement cost has remained same, almost same. There is, you can say, a few exchange which comes only primarily on account of cane development activities which the company takes. Otherwise, cane prices are fixed by the government, state government, and they have remained at same level of 370 rupees per quintal for last year as well as for current season.
Understood, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side. And thank you for clarifying the first question. I'll join the queue later. Thank you. And all the best for the quarter.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Varun Mishra from SK Associates. Please proceed.
Hi. I had a couple of questions. So, what is the outlook on the power generation days, like in terms of the upcoming quarter? Well, the PPT, it mentioned the lower operation days, like which caused the lower sales output overall. Like, so what's your outlook on that?
We are discussing about the power export, right? Lower power export. See, in sugar, we run the integrated operations and power is a kind of byproduct. So cogeneration happens and we export the surplus power. Since my sugar operations... in current sugar season, which is after sugar season 24-25, it ended on 29th of March. So my exportable power also again was not that available that much as compared to previous year when the sugar mill was running till 17th of April. So we could generate more power also and export the power in the Q1 of previous year. As compared to this year, it has been much lesser. So that is the only reason. It's all driven by, you can say, the sugar season period, how many days we are operating.
All right, sir. And so, like, given the zero cane crushing and subsequently, like, no sugar production for this quarter, as you mentioned, so, like, what is the pending stock of sugar which we have, like, as of now? And with the crushing operations coming, like, in Q2, about, like, how would, like, if you could quantify that?
So we have enough sugar stock available, and based on the sugar stock, the government allocates the quota also. So we sell it, and the next sugar season should start towards, you can say, probably by mid of or towards end of October for us. So when again the sugar production will start. You want to know exact sugar stock as on 30th June?
Yes, sir, that would be great.
I think we'll come back on that.
Okay, I'll have it mailed over. Also, sir, like, just one last question from mine. So you were saying something, yeah.
I tell you that the stock as on 30th June is around 6 lakh quintals.
Okay. All right. 6 lakh quintals. All right. And so, like, this is the last question from mine, sir. Like, can you please provide us some color on, like, what is the, like, on higher EBITDA losses in the real estate division? Like, were there any one-off expenses, or, like, was it, like, what is it, like, is the spillover from the previous quarter? Anything like that?
Higher EBITDA losses.
Higher EBITDA losses in?
So in the real estate division.
The higher EBITDA losses is, if I tell you, it is basically because of the reason that they are having exchange losses.
Oh, that's in terms of, like, currency exchange losses, or how is it?
Exchange losses, they have some in ICDs that they have given to their group, our group companies, foreign companies. So they have recognized some exchange losses, resulting in their EBITDA is down. However, on an operational front, they are on a higher side because they have recognized DM fees in this current quarter.
All right, so this is just a temporary because of the exchange.
This is just a temporary investment. The investment that has been made into the Dubai entities is in the form of debt, and that investment is denominated in foreign currency. So as and when the currency changes the value, you will see some impact coming in the P&L. That's what he's referring to. In the past, I'm sure you have shown significant gains as well, yeah, on that item.
All right. That's all from my end, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we take that as the last question and would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining this call. We appreciate your participation. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us and our investor relations advisor, MUFG IR. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
I would like to add that we thank all the investors, analysts who joined this call today, and we will continue to, I assure you that we'll continue to engage you every quarter and try to improve the, both the quantum and the quality of information that is shared with you. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. On behalf of Zuari Industries, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.